Later, boys. Still good to see you.
Good to see you, Bucky.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, man. Take care. There they go. That is Bucky and BK. And, of course, it is time for Chaos Theory. As we talked about, it is Wags out today. So, my man, Suplex Stu, Speedway Stu. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Stu Myrick joining me here for an hour, a little bit less than an hour now of absolute. Jeff and I did Old Man Radio yesterday, and I think today it's going to get just a little bit old. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL schedule coming out. We got to talk a little bit of pro wrestling. I'll probably ask Stu about Kyle Larson doing the double. Yeah. By the way, Stu, did you see Eddie Gossage passed yesterday?
I saw that. That was sad. I mean, Eddie Gossage was such a pivotal figure for the history of motorsports in Texas with what he did with Texas Motor Speedway. You know, it's now, you know, one of those preeminent tracks. That's the one that, you know, that race is one that a lot of people focus on during the NASCAR season. You know, of course, brought IndyCar there and everything. So, yeah, real sad that Eddie Gossage no longer with us.
Yeah. Just a great run that he had there and very unexpected. I mean, didn't even know Eddie was ill or anything happening there. We don't know any details of any of that. But Eddie's one of those guys that kind of opened some doors up for me. You know, it's like Eddie probably regrets that I ever got his phone number because I'm like all the time, you know. But yeah. He was always very good to me. So rest in peace there. But, of course, we do have to start, Stu. Scotty Scheffler, and like you talked about, I mean, with your thoughts on all of this. I mean, this is a situation that, and like when I texted you earlier, I'm so glad you're on today because you've been behind the scenes at these tournaments. And of course, there was something else that happened this morning, but can I talk about that part? Well, it's hard to get in these things.
Well, see, so, you know, I was lucky enough. I covered the Dell Technologies match play over the course of the 8 years that it was here in Austin. And it's, I mean, the security they have, it's, you know, PGA is like top notch.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, trying to get into, like, you know, so we would have to park offside, usually at Riverbend Church or something, and then shuttle in because, like, you know, and most of these country clubs, Austin Country Club, it's in a residential area. It's right there off Westlake Drive. And so you take the shuttle in. And there are police officers at every point to keep traffic away from there, outside of obviously those that live in the neighborhood. So,
oh, I think we lost him there for just a second. Let's see if we get Stu back. God dang it, it's just getting to the good part of the story too. So, and that's the thing, like what I was talking about right there is wanting to get that from Stu was because, like I mentioned right there, he's covered, he went to these PGA events that were happening here in Austin. I mean, a lot of weekends, it was like Stu was double dipping between NASCAR and, you know, what was happening over at AAC. So, yeah, I think we lost him there for a minute. We'll try to bring him back on here in just a second. I'm sure he'll jump back on, Stu, there. Of course, that's the beauty of doing this show live, is that every now and then we have that. But in case you're a little late to the party today, what went on this morning, it was probably right around the 5 a.m. hour time. Scotty Scheffler on his way to the PGA. And as he's trying to make his way in there, there had been an accident earlier in the morning to where a pedestrian was hit by one of the buses that was trying to shuttle or a shuttle vehicle that was trying to shuttle folks in. That person obviously, you know, deceased. And that's the whole part of this. But in all the confusion and everything that was happening there in the dark, in the rain and so forth, Scotty Scheffler trying to get his way in. And it's not for any of us to figure out, okay, did he do something wrong? Although he has admitted in his statement that, you know, maybe that it was a misunderstanding. And Stu, to your point, getting in these things, I mean, you don't just roll up and be able to do these things at a PGA event.
You're absolutely right. Forgive the setting, by the way. Just lost power here at the world headquarters. So I'm on my phone. But you're right. It is, you know, there are layers of security. Now, what happened this morning, first of all our thoughts and prayers to the family of the individual that was killed. I say there were multiple failings in this. Look, first and foremost, Scotty Scheffler, And he said he was following directions. If a cop stops you, I mean, that, you know, we were always taught, follow the directions of the policeman, no matter what.
Yep.
I'm sure that if he had taken a moment to explain, look, I'm a player, I'm, you know, they would have found a way to get him in. So Scotty definitely was at fault. I think that police officer, there might be some fault with him. He may have been a case of puffing out his chest a little bit or whatever, you know, so there's a little, there's that. There should have been some sort of an arrangement to get the players in when they had the blockade there. I mean, there's failings on all, on a bunch of different individuals with what happened. Now, luckily, Scheffler was able to get, you know, they got him out. I think it was the owner of the country club that actually picked him up, brought him back to the country club, and he was able to warm up and everything. And last I saw, he was on the green at 13. He's 1 under today, five under for the tournament. So, and I think it's the Longhorn Bears, Scheffler, 2 birdies, 1 bogey so far. So, you know, hopefully he's able to put that out of his mind, concentrate on what happens in the second round today. You know, he was officially arrested, was it felony assault of a police officer and then a couple of misdemeanors. I got a feeling these will go away, you know, through whatever channels they have, all that good stuff. But yeah, getting into a PGA tournament is, you don't just walk in.
Right.
You got to go through layers of security. And we, you know, we did as the media, you know, not only, you know, on the shuttle and the, going through the different checkpoints, but even, you know, obviously getting to the venue, whatever that venue is, then you still got to go through checkpoints. So yeah, they've got security, you know, pretty much locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to at a massive event like that. And I mean, especially a major, you know, that's going to happen. And Father Texas 98 checking in right there. I did hear that other players were doing that. And kind of where I go back to, and again, Stu, it's not for you, me, or anybody else that's going to be on this channel, or in my opinion, in national or local media or anything, to try to figure out what happened here. Like you said, there's a lot of different things that have to shake themselves out. But in the sense, because you've seen this, I mean, it's probably offering, I mean, I'm wearing the covert cap today. I mean, when you would have the events here at AAC, you have the vehicles that are provided by a dealership that is looking, you know, for that exposure or whatever the case may be. He was in one of those vehicles. And I think where this whole scenario is just so different is, you know, the rain is one thing. I mean, because it's saturated grounds, everything that was going on there today. But the pandemonium that had to be happening at the time with the unfortunate incident. And again, that's, to me, that's the big thing. And Scotty did address that in his statement. But, and I heard, Stu, it's, you know, we're all pretty familiar with Scotty. We know his demeanor. We kind of know his temperature. He never identified himself. You know, he never did the, do you know who I am? Or never pulled the PGA card or anything like that. But he was in that vehicle. So there's a lot of stuff to be answered right here. But I think this dude is on a mission, apparently, with what he's doing right now.
Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be fascinating. You know, for instance, those that are subscribers to ESPN Plus, they've got the PGA feed on their app. And one of their feature groups includes Scottie Scheffler. So following him all day, that's going to be fascinating to watch. Again, seeing if he can compartmentalize everything, focus on the task at hand of getting through this second round. Like I said, there's a light shower, light rain falling at the country club. So we'll see if it even makes it through the day, you know, or if they decide to, you know, halt play for you know, because of conditions. But yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch what Scotty does today at the PGA Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Coda text line, if you guys are on the free Texas Sports Unfiltered app, 222-9328, you can check in at any point there. If you're not on YouTube, Facebook, or all the Twitter and or X and all that stuff, got a shout out, our man Hoop Dog checking in. Happy Chaos Friday, headed to Lufkin once again, asking if we can shout him out as 15-year-old son Jace, taking the trip with him. Nothing like a good dad-son trip, right? That's what I'm talking about. Getting Jace factored in to TSU here early on, wishing us a happy weekend, Stu. So very good thing right there with all of that going on. But it is going to be interesting to see how this shakes out for Scheffler, because I agree. I heard Bucky talking where it was going to be that he was either going to come out, and he got there and everything. He seemed very relaxed. He seemed to be the usual Scotty Scheffler that we're used to, and he appears to be just doing what he's doing. And you have to think, as the number one player in the world, that he's going to be unfazed by this. And I mean, you have to think. I mean, it's unfortunate that now he now has a mugshot. As of right now, there is a record that he has, but you have to think there's probably some part of Scotty, Stu, that's thinking, man, this is kind of comical at the way this went. Not the comical part about the person, you know, that's deceased, but just the way this all happened this morning. And Jeff Darlington, for crying out loud, you want to talk about getting the story. That's the story of a lifetime right there with the aspect that he had. We lost him there for a second. We'll get him back on right there. Sorry, Stu. Got you on a couple of different ones right there.
So the power just came back on. My router is rebooting, so
yep, all good.
So anyway, yeah, there we go on golf.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a story right there to see how all of that shakes out for Scotty Scheffler as we go into the PGA Tour round two, and Scheffler is on the course. All right, my man, NFL schedule drops, and you, I do want to ask you one other thing, kind of piggyback to Scheffler just right quick. You and I have been doing this a long time. When I was saying old man radio, I mean, maybe we haven't done it to this magnitude or had this many people watch us or see us. Can you relate this to anything else? You know, when it comes to odd stories, when it comes to just stuff that you're sitting there and you're like, what the hell is going on here? Is there anyone that can correlate to this?
Man, I mean, I'm racking my brain, and mm-hmm. I can't think of anything. I mean, what happened this morning, that is to have an individual who is involved in a competition in the middle of that competition and to have something like that happen. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, it's a rarity to be sure. I can't think of anything like that. I mean, we have people, you know, you'll have stuff that happens like, you know, a couple days before or whatever. But, you know, the morning of, that's something else.
You know, I remember, Stu, when the Tiger thing, when the shit kind of hit the fan with that. We were on a family trip and it was like, I mean, and of course this was, you know, back then, I mean, you didn't quite have the social media rage and everything that you have now where you can go immediately and find the stuff out. I mean, you had to really find it second or third hand, with some of these things, but I kind of remember that one where it's like, I heard some folks talking where it's like the OJ deal. No, not quite, not quite like that. But I mean, this really is something that and this is where you see the power of sports, because this isn't just a story on Texas Sports Unfiltered, ESPN, The Athletic, Bleacher Report, you name it. This is like a mainstream story right here where the number one player in golf, the dominating player in golf, brand new dad, had a misunderstanding and got hauled off by Roscoe P. Coltrane to the Hooskow. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I remember when everything with Tiger, you know, went down with, you know, the golf club through the windshield and all that good stuff, you know, and then, you know, and I remember vividly, you know, after that, I proclaimed on I remember being on a show and I proclaimed, you know, because Tiger was on that run trying to break Jack's record of 18 majors. I think he was at 13 at the time, or 14, and I proclaimed that day he is not going to break Jack's record. I said I'd be surprised if he wins another major. Now, he did go on win a Masters, but, you know, and then the car wreck happens and he, you know, destroys his leg and all that good stuff. You know, and now, you know, yeah, he's playing, but it's not Tiger. It's not the Tiger that we saw back in the day. So,
yeah.
But yeah, this that happened today, that's, like I said, I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah. And kind of the last point to that, I mean, because you always have, you know, the Tiger effect that we talk about when it comes to PGA, when Tiger's involved, I think we're finding the Scotty effect. Right here may have just superseded that right there, because and not that Tiger's an afterthought, but you know, obviously with the popularity, with the dominance that we've seen from Scotty, I think he may have just plateaued himself into that spot. So that's going to be ongoing, and of course we'll throughout the day continue on the socials updating you with what's going on there with Scotty as he plays in the PGA. Before we dive into that NFL schedule and that great conversation that's coming up, got to tell you about our friends at Audiovisual Consultations. Since 1988, setting up your home entertainment systems. They will take care of you from a 2 to 4 to 5 home theater. The sound, man, they will. Look, let's just listen to Tom and the kid and let them tell you about it.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
I got this, Dad. This is Camilla McKay, and my dad can help with any TV or stereo needs you have around your house. Just call him, and he will come to you with advice and a great price. And the guys that work for him are awesome. They can install anything, anywhere. So, like my dad says, just relax and smile. We handle all the work.
So just give us a call at 255-8678 or on the web at avconsultations.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom McKay had to go to the retro right there. Had to play that one. I saw Tom and the kid out there at the Mullet Open last Friday. What a great event that was as we were live out there. But had to go with that one because, you know, I'm a girl dad. So I like hearing those good old school commercials. All right, Stu, here we go. NFL schedule is out. And the NFL really doing everything that they can do to pretty much take over everything. I mean, you look at now with the addition of Netflix games and the Christmas games and so forth, you know, Jets, Cowboys, and 49ers. Why the Jets are in the most primetime games, I think we know why. But kind of your thoughts, all of that. We can hone in and talk about what Dallas has to deal with, but just kind of as a whole to you, anything here, 9 playoff rematches. The NFL is the NFL, and it is the biggest entity in sports right now.
That's why it doesn't matter if it's the draft, if it's schedule release, when they have it, you know, and this is, it's the, you know, the beauty of the NFL. They will find a way to, you know, make it the most popular thing on TV and everything. You look at the schedule, you know, you mentioned, first of all, the season kicks off with Ravens at Chiefs on Thursday, September 5th. That's the NBC game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through, you met the Cowboys, 6 primetime games. That's, you know, so you got a 17-game schedule, and 6 of your games are in primetime. That's pretty big. That's a lot, and it's not just, you know, you'll see games on ESPN, you'll see games on NBC, see games on Prime, you know. Plus, you just mentioned Netflix. You know, Prime Video has the Thursday night games, and now Netflix is getting into the game with the 2 Christmas Day games, Chiefs versus Steelers. That's the noon game, Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And then at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Central, Ravens and Texans. So that's, you know, that's going to be an interesting deal because, you know, Christmas is on a Wednesday. So, and as far as I know, I can't recall when the NFL has had a game on Wednesday. So, you know, hey, why not? But that's the fact that Netflix is now a broadcast partner of the NFL, along with Prime Video. You wonder what that means for the future as you see more live sports going to streaming partners. I can tell you, again, from the wrestling side, WWE just signed a deal over $1 billion to put Monday Night Raw on Netflix. Yep. Starting in January 2025. Netflix is going to have the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. You're seeing, a lot of different things. Max is getting in with the NBA playoffs. This is going to, this is the wave of the future where you will start seeing more and more live sports on streaming platforms and getting away from the traditional ESPN, Fox Sports, what have you. So that'll be interesting. As I mentioned, Dallas, they kick off the season with the afternoon game against the Browns. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, that'll be his debut in the broadcast booth. I think that's a CBS game.
Fox. That'd be a Fox.
Oh, Fox. Never mind. That's Fox. Yeah. It's Tom Brady and Brenneman, I think.
Yeah. I believe so. I believe that'll be. Yeah, I got to tell you, and with all of that, I mean, I kind of like the number two team at Fox. I mean, I don't know what we're going to get from Brady. I mean, obviously the man knows the game. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But just in the fact that Greg, and I'm saying, Greg Olson is kind of the one that's getting the short end of the stick on this deal. Yeah. Because I personally think he's been phenomenal. And the fact that he's been moved, to the second guy. I mean, I don't know if his pay was affected, but just in the sense that he's been kind of. But again, this is Tom Brady that's coming in, so I think he totally gets that. But here's the other part of that. I like that, and again, I won't nerd out here and get into broadcasting too much. But I think the fact that him and Joe Davis, that young dude. I think that's going to be one hell of a combination right there. And I think they will continue to evolve and get better. But kind of to your thought right there, so with the Cowboys, I've talked to a lot of different Cowboy fans to where it's like, well, the last, I think it's 9 or 10 games really set up nicely for Dallas for them to be able to position themselves, to hopefully win the East and so forth. But my thought with that, Stu, is, man, I'm not worried about the last 8 or 9 games. I'm worried about what's going to happen before that because there's still a lot of questions on this roster. I mean, I don't think that you've addressed the running back thing. Yeah. I mean, I should have put money on it way back when I said Zeke was coming back. The Dak thing is still kind of floating around. I know that you've got a great wide receiver, group there, but your offensive line is going to be starting a bunch of young dudes. And that first game, you're throwing those young dudes to the gauntlet against Myles Garrett in that dog pound Cleveland defense.
You're right. Absolutely. I mean, and you're right. There are still quite a few questions on the Cowboys. I mean, so your first 6 games, home Browns, away at Saints, away at Ravens, home against Giants, home against Steelers, away at Detroit. I mean, if they come through that,
1-5, they could be 1-5. Stu. Could.
I'm thinking if they come through that at least 500, I'm okay. I'm okay with that because then you hit the bye. Now coming out of the bye, they host San Francisco, which is always gnarly. That's a big one. But then you get the Falcons. And then our, first chance against those stinking Eagles. Ugh, unfortunately, it's at Philly, at Lincoln Financial Field. So, we got to see what Jerry and the crew do with the Cowboys leading up to the season. They've got to address the running back. Look, I don't know how effective Zeke's going to be. There was a reason they let him go in the first place. So I don't know what has changed in their mind to say, okay, well, he's going to be, he's our running back. they've got to find somebody to spell him. They really do. Yeah. You know, they ran, they kind of ran him into the ground his first stint in the with Cowboys. So
yeah.
they got to address that. You mentioned the offensive line, going to be starting a bunch of newcomers. You know, so we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and you're at the point now. I mean, the draft, and again, good draft. I mean, good draft. I mean, yeah. you addressed your needs, but I mean, now you're into free agency, and you've got the whole, are they going to re-sign Stephon Gilmore? The people that we're talking about, I've never played NFL football, so when I get on TSU and I'm calling guys, you know, more veteran, or if I call somebody a retread, it's because I've watched them for so long. And like Zeke, I mean, yeah, I love having him back. The nostalgia, just everything that he's done. But when my push to get him back was, he needs to be back and be a complimentary player, because he's not. And Tony Pollard is gone. He's moved on to Tennessee. I just don't think I love Deuce Vaughn as much as everybody else in Round Rock. And I think Rico Dowdle is a you know, capable third or fourth guy.
Yeah.
Zeke is just not going to be your guy. And I don't know. I'll be curious to see where they go with this, because I saw, Stu, that they said this is the, or some of the pundits said, this is the sixth easiest schedule in the league. I'm like, you call that easy? Who's calculating this?
Man, I don't know. By the way, Scottie Scheffler just parred 14, so he's still 5 under as he heads to 15.
I'll tell you, man's on a mission. Longhorn Bear once again about, and again, conspiracy theories, you're going to get them. I mean, if PGA pros, you know, you're going to get that. I mean, I heard the, you know, with Shoffley this morning, and of course Rory, but, it, you know, I don't know about any of that.
Like I said, they're going to find a way, and this will all blow over, and then,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it'll all be good. One other thing there that I do want to touch on, Stu, when we talk about the 2024 NFL schedule, is that I think the other part of this where we talk about, and of course you're going to have, we saw a couple of days ago that now Netflix, with the rights to that 10-part series about the rise of Jerry Jones and the Cowboy organization thereafter, he buys that from Bum Bright with the stipulation that he has to fire Tom Landry and so forth. We know all of that. I'm sure that'll be drawn out. But the other thing that I really look at when we talk about the reach of the NFL, the popularity of football, of the National Football League, is that they're Germany, England, and now Brazil.
Yeah.
And that, to me, American football, and it used to be you would talk to folks in another country and they would kind of laugh about this. You guys are, why are they trying to kill each other? And that tells you right there, there's 5 international games. That is some kind of reach that you're watching with this league.
It really is. You know, NFL now, you know, like you said, Munich, they're in London. The Jaguars are playing a couple games now. That, I think that ties in, not, you know, because of the cons. Tony Khan is one of the major players with Fulham FC in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why, you know, it was joke forever that the Jaguars could move to London, which I don't think that's going to happen. Shad's not going to let that happen. But, you know, and then like you mentioned, I think, you know, the Sao Paulo game is like early. I want to say it's week one or week two. But you're right. The global reach of the NFL to where it is now being accepted alongside the soccer heads and such in Europe, in South America. You know, I think it's the inevitable development of the NFL as they reach, you know, we just joked about it, but, you know, there's always the whispers of, could a franchise move outside the United States?
Yep.
I don't think so. If for no other reason, the logistics, just the sheer logistics of putting a team, you know, look, they're not even going to put it in Honolulu, much less another country.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, it's really cool to see those international games played in those settings. And it does the league well.
And I think what's had to happen right here is simply the fact, I mean, like you mentioned there about the other football, about soccer, the popularity of what we have watched. I mean, we see it right here. I mean, every time the Verde are out at Q2, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a massive, you know, just amazing event. I mean, doesn't really matter what happens on the field. They can get blown out, and but you're still going to have just the popularity of it and how MLS continues to just do really amazing things in the U.S. And I think that that's where, I mean, say what you want to say about Roger Goodell and the NFL. I mean, they have really taken that model. We see it with Formula One, Stu. Yeah. I mean, you know, we cover that. Now we've got three races in the States. And to me, that's too many. And I saw a couple of days ago, probably about 4 days ago, that now Formula One has somehow acquired, I think they're about to plan another one in Chicago, another Chicago, a Formula One race in Chicago, and move NASCAR maybe back over to Chicagoland or take the market from them. So I think that's where we see these leagues where it's like, I mean, the NFL's doing a really good job to do what soccer is doing to go win those markets, because soccer is winning this market here.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, congratulations. The Austin FC in Q2, they're going to host the MLS All-Star Game next year.
That's right.
So that's a big deal. So that'll be really cool to, Michael, see 60 consecutive. Yes, believe me. And having been on that beat, you know, it was always the running joke at the post-match press conferences when Ryan, and I forget his last name, Ryan, who was the head of PR for Austin FC.
Yeah.
Before Josh Wolf would speak, he goes, tonight was the however many consecutive sellout, you know, extending the MLS record, all that good stuff. And we all kind of chuckled. It's like, okay, yeah, again. You know, but yeah, and Q2 has become one of those places that, you know, it's popular because the supporter section, whether you look at Austin Anthem or Los Verdes or La Murga, you know, they are singing from that first whistle until the final whistle at 90 plus. Mm-hmm. They are singing constantly, and they're trying to make that into a home field advantage. Austin FC has had a little bit of an upturn here lately. So who knows? Maybe that's going to help them through the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the name of the game. I mean, because you can have, I mean, obviously you want to win games. And the Dallas Cowboys are the best example that I can go to. And this has been kind of my argument against the Cowboys here for so long, is where it really does seem, especially when you get an offseason like this where you're supposed to be all in, and you see what's happening here. And again, you can't discount the success that the Cowboys have had winning NFC East championships and so forth and getting into playoffs. I mean, but the playoff wins are not there. Obviously, the Super Bowl championships are not there since the 95-96 season. But what the Dallas Cowboys continue to do is market themselves as the most popular franchise in this world. They sell a lot of paraphernalia, merchandise. They sell a lot of stadium tours, and they really are, I mean, like it or not, they are the face of the NFL. When you think about the NFL, you talk about that, Stu, it was, I think probably about 3 years ago, Tracy and I went to Belize. And I took cowboy gear because it was during football season, and it's the middle of the week, and I'm wearing cowboy stuff, and people are stopping me wanting to talk about, oh, you're American. Let's talk about Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones? Why do we want to talk about Jerry Jones? Because that's the spearheading figure, and that's, I mean, that's what sports is now. I mean, the on-the-field shit is great, but that's what sports is right now.
You're right, and that's why Dallas Cowboys, like it or not, usually at least – top five most valuable franchises in all sports, and usually top three. It's usually them, the Yankees, and Manchester United. So,
yeah,
they're doing something right.
Yep, and they are very much in that. You know, I know that it gets to kind of be a boring take, but when they, the Lakers, the Yankees, Manchester, all of them, when they are good, it only makes the product better. Because people want to tune in. You get the regular fans that want to tune in to see their team win, but you get all the others that want to tune in to see them lose.
Yes.
And that's what sports fandom is all about. Before we dive into a little bit of pro wrestling, because I do have a question for you, Stu, something that I observed last Saturday night in Houston. How about a word from our friends at Covert BK?
You see Covert everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's It's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Since 1909, the Covert family of dealerships. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now. Sure as hell, not ever. Stu, last Saturday night, I was working in Houston doing some stock car racing. I get done. I head back to my palatial confines of the Holiday Inn Intercontinental Airport, recently renovated. Very nice digs that I get complimentary stays there. Stu, I flip on the TV and I see Reality of Wrestling.
Yes.
And I sit there and I watch this and I'm totally, it reminded me of the Texas wrestling that I grew up with that I go back and try to consume all the time.
Yes.
And I get back and I had no idea that this was a Booker T thing.
Yes, this is so Reality Wrestling, Booker T's school and promotion down in the Houston area. He's had this for years. They now have a TV deal. I think it's the CW affiliate in Houston.
That's where it was.
And they work out of, and forgive me, they've changed the name because they moved a little bit. So it's the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena in Texas City.
Texas City.
And they put on some great shows. The talent there is top notch. I've worked with a lot of those talents when they come to Austin to work for Inspire After Death. Plus, with Booker's involvement on the commentary team for NXT, he will sometimes bring in NXT superstars. And I think this last one, they had Lexus King, the formerly known as Brian Pillman Jr.
Oh, wow.
I think he was wrestling Ryan Davidson there at the last Reality Wrestling event. But yeah, Booker T has a fantastic setup there. And Booker T is a friend of my show. And I've talked to Booker on many occasions. He does such a great job down there. And they teach all aspects. And this, you know, it's kind of the same thing that I see with Dustin Rhodes at the Rhodes Wrestling Academy, where they teach, not only they teach you the skills in the ring, but they teach you how to wrestle for TV. Mm-hmm. And they teach you the aspects of being a signed to a promotion that's on TV, whether it's WWE or AEW or TNA. So, but yeah, he has such a great setup, and they do shows. I think they do shows monthly. And it's a really cool thing. If you're in the Houston area, go check it out. They always have great shows, fantastic action. You won't be disappointed by Reality of Wrestling.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was totally, so they had a Texas heavyweight championship bout.
Yes.
Or match is what they had. And I sat there for, number one, I love that belt. Yeah. And I sat there and watched that. And it really does have that feel to me as I was watching that. A buddy of mine, you know, Sang, he was over here the other night, and we actually went back and sat and watched the whole Black Saturday thing. And you think of the old WTBS, you know, Superstation stuff back when they wrestled in that TV studio. That's kind of what that felt like when I was watching that.
Yeah.
It was cozy, confined. The crowd was all into it, and the wrestling was great. And those dudes were taught well, I could tell.
Yeah, Booker, you know, like I said, Booker's top notch. Of course, you know, Hall of Famer. You know, probably best known his, you know, I think 11 or 12 tag title reigns with Stevie Ray and Harlem Heat. You mentioned the Dark Side of the Ring episode on Black Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I watched that as well. And I remember that Saturday. I was watching TBS at that time, and it was a shock to me because I was used to seeing Crockett and seeing Gordon Sully and seeing the likes of the Road Warriors and Ric Flair and all that. And then all of a sudden, here's Vince McMahon, and they're showing these pre-tape matches, you know, kind of like what they were doing with their syndicated WWE shows that time, WWF. And it was, it was not the same. And learning the history of that, the involvement with Ole Anderson and the Briscoes and such, it was interesting to see that. Especially in the framework of what Vince was trying to do, taking it national, signing up the talent from the different territories. It was a fascinating show for sure. And I, you know, and I encourage everybody, if you have an interest in wrestling and in the aspects that aren't necessarily in ring, check out Dark Side of the Ring on Vice. That was the season finale for, I think, their fifth season. I know at least the first three seasons are available on Hulu, and they get in some really good, interesting topics. There's one on the death of Gino Hernandez. They talk about the Von Erichs. They talk about Bruiser Brody. I think that was like the series premiere. They talked about Bruiser. So fantastic show.
Yeah. Coda text line, Longhorn fan from Denton. And of course, if you're in the Denton area and you have been in the Denton area for any amount of time, you are very familiar with, I guess it was Territory Wrestling at one point that blew itself up, obviously, with Von Erichs. The best Booker T memory is him and Stone Cold in the supermarket. Yeah, that was.
They play that clip quite a bit. That one's a fun one. The Von Erichs. So Ross and Marshall, Kevin's sons, they've started their own podcast.
Oh, wow.
They had a premiere episode. They had their father, Kevin, on podcast. They also mentioned something, and it was so funny. I pointed this out on Sports Guys Talking Wrestling this week, that they want a match one of these days. They want a match with Cody and Dustin Rhodes, you know, kind of the two royal families of Texas wrestling. Now, I know... This was back in February when AEW came to town. They were at the HEB Center at Cedar Park. They taped Rampage, which is the show that AEW has on Friday nights on TNT. And it was a trios match. It was actually three graduates of the Rhodes Wrestling Academy taking on Dustin Rhodes and Ross and Marshall Von Erich. So Dustin and the Von Erichs had teamed together. And Dustin had told me, that was the first time in 40 years that a Rhodes and a Von Erich had teamed together. And ironically, that last time, it was Kevin Von Erich, Ross and Marshall's father, and Dusty.
Wow.
Dustin's father. So it was pretty special. And plus I love those guys. Ross and Marshall are such great guys. I love them to death and they're fantastic. So who knows? Maybe one of these days after Cody's finished and conquering WWE, maybe we'll see that match.
Absolutely. And we do remind you, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, be sure and subscribe there. Catch those drops. I mean, it's always such good stuff. And Stu, what I love about what you do is because it's like I talk about it all the time on the racing side, is to where I cover when I cover racing, I try to cover a lot of the grassroots and a lot of the, you know, what quote unquote regular people are going to consume. I mean, when it comes to NASCAR and Formula One and so forth, I won't put IndyCar in there. But with that, there are thousands of people that cover that. But like what you do with the Indies and covering regional events and all that, because to me, same thought with racing and professional wrestling. That's where it is, man. That's where you get the real stuff. That's where you get the guys and ladies that work their asses off and are, I mean, they're not doing it for a living. They're not doing it for a living a lot of times. And they just want to make an impact on the sport.
Well, that's the thing. They want to be able to do it for a living. Sure. And that's where, you know, they get discovered by WWE and AEW and TNA and New Japan and such. But yeah, the Indies are the lifeblood of pro wrestling. And I'm honored enough to be involved with Inspire After Death here in Austin. And we've got shows, you know, I think we're doing our next show is on June 2nd downtown at Empire Control Room and Garage. And it's a lot of those guys. And I will tell you, we've had, I know not this past one, but our April show, among those attending our Inspire show was Gabe Sapolsky, used to run Evolve Wrestling and is now one of the scouts for WWE. And he was in town. He was in town actually to do a talk at Dustin's wrestling school. And then he came to our event and, you know, was able to scout out some of the talent that we had there for Inspire. So it's one of those things I tell people all the time. It's like watching minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of seeing these folks because there is going to be a day when the next time you see them, they're going to be on a TV screen, you know, with one of the major companies. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah, you mentioned Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Usually drops, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesdays. This next week, because next weekend we've got two pay-per-view type events. You got WWE King and Queen of the Ring happening on Saturday in Saudi Arabia, and then AEW Double or Nothing on Sunday in Las Vegas. So I'll be previewing those. Usually I'll have somebody else that covers wrestling for one of the major wrestling websites, but it's a lot of fun and I enjoy it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you are the best in the business with it. I do want to get your thoughts kind of right here is on the wrestling conversation. So you mentioned there with Cody Rhodes being now the world champion. What is kind of the thought in the industry? I mean, I thought it was a great, I mean, when he won the title, and again, you know, there with the way that all of that happened, I mean, it was a beautiful thing to watch and to see that happen and to see a Rhodes as a world champion. What's kind of the perception within the industry of the job he's doing? I mean, because that's, I think a lot of times what it takes, I mean, to be able to keep that strap, you've got to be able to win the house. You got to be able to win the television viewers. You got to be able to win the industry over. Kind of what's the perception now with Ruth Rhodes as the world champion?
I see a lot of comparisons with him and John Cena. John Cena, for the longest time, he was the face of WWE. He was the one that did all the you know, appearances and, you know, all the Make-A-Wish stuff. He's still like the record breaker for how many wishes he granted, you know, and he's still granting. Cody Rhodes is in that frame, and that's where they're putting this as. We heard during WrestleMania that this is a new era. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to move past Vince and all that good stuff. The Cody winning the title from Roman Reigns, that was the culmination of probably at least a 2-year story arc. Wow. I mean, and it was one of those things, if it wasn't going to happen, I was afraid to see what would, you know, follow. So good thing it happened. He's going to be one of those guys. Look, and I am lucky enough. I know Cody. Cody is a genuinely good man. He has his wife Brandy, his little daughter Libby. They are a wonderful family, and he works. I mean, he gives all of his efforts and everything to what he does. It is a So, I mean, as far as the title reign, it's a little early. I mean, he's been champion for a month and a half. He's had one big defense beating AJ Styles last month at Backlash in France. He's got one coming up next weekend with U.S. champion Logan Paul. Yes, that's Jake Paul's brother, who is in WWE in Saudi Arabia. And that supposedly is a title for title match. So the winner could end up with both belts.
Yep.
Now, I said this on my show this past week, it would shock me if we get a clean finish. It would shock me even more if Logan Paul goes over. I think Cody, you know, if there is going to be an actual winner, I think Cody comes out with both belts.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger likelihood is going to be there's going to be some sort of a, as we like to say in the wrestling business, a schmoz finish where the belts don't change hands. It'll be like a DQ or something like that. But it'll be interesting to see those two work in the ring together.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff right there with those pay-per-views coming up. And again, check out the indie scene if you really want to get into some of the really good stuff with pro wrestling. Stu, as we kind of wind down here, I do want to ask you, we've covered racing together. May is just an amazing month. We've got cars on the track at noon at Indianapolis once again, and Kyle Larson, NASCAR champion. I mean, the guy will... I mean, you could put him on a mule and he'd probably win a short track race. But Larson trying to do, hadn't seen it since Kurt Busch. A guy to come in and do that double. And that's 1,100 miles on Memorial Day weekend. Kind of, we've had some interactions with Larson. Obviously, he's got Hendrick into this with him and Errol McLaren and Tom Brady. Not a more perfect guy to try to pull this off, in my opinion, than Kyle Larson.
You're right. That's, he's still, I think I think most perceive him as still a, not one of the young guys, but a younger guy. And you're right with the backing with Hendrick Motorsports and Arrow McLaren on the Indy side. By the way, congratulations, you know, to Lando Norris getting his first F1 win.
Yeah,
there in Miami. I think it'll be interesting to watch. That is, and you know, that's gonna, he's got to be in like tip chop shape to do that 1,100 miles between the 500 in Indianapolis and then, you know, chopper over to Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600. That is a lot of driving, and that's in its two different styles because you're doing IndyCar, which is open wheel versus a stock car. It'll be fun to see if I think it will be a major victory if he can get a top 10 in both races. I think that'd be a huge victory.
And I truly think that he can. When I heard about this, because this has been a year and a half in the making right here, like we're talking about storylines and so forth, the kind of with the Arrow McLaren thing, I'm like, well, but you know, you watch with Pato O'Ward and just how Arrow McLaren has upped their game in IndyCar, he's in a very good situation to where I don't think that he would win both of these races. I think people would flip their shit if he did. But like you're talking about a top 10 in both of these, Stu, there is not an ounce of me that sees that as not possible because this dude is that damn good.
And like I said, I think that'd be a huge victory, not only for Larson, not only for Hendrick or Arrow McLaren, but I think it'd be a huge victory for both NASCAR and IndyCar. They can tout that and bring more eyes to the sport.
Yeah, and IndyCar definitely needs that shot in the arm right there to help them. So it's only an hour coming up with Jeff and Jordan, and I'm sure they're going to have some, great conversation as Texas looks like have gotten another great wide receiver that's about to be added to the fold. Stu, for you, I know on here on Chaos Theory with Wags, you know, we do talk a lot of NBA and hockey. Kind of your thoughts, the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, the Mavericks in a position to finish this thing off against the Thunder tomorrow at home in a 3-2 series. You got a good one tonight, and then you got a game 7. NBA is kind of ramping up a little bit right now, as it should be.
Well, that's what they want, especially with the playoffs going on. You got Minnesota forcing the game 7. Yep. Game 7s are always entertaining. The Mavericks, man, it'd be great to see the Mavericks succeed again. You know, they went for a while. They were down in the basement. So it's good to see the Mavericks, you know, having some success. Let's see how far they can go in the playoffs. But you're right. NBA playoffs, you know, coming at the right time and everybody's watching it, and that's good. By the way, Scottie Scheffler now 4 strokes off the lead.
Yep.
And he just hit his green shot, and it is rolling. He's got about a 10-foot putt for birdie, I think.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. But, NBA playoffs, I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see who comes out on the East. Good time to watch. Good time to get the basketball fix.
Yeah, very, very much at ease does it appear to be Mr. Scheffler right now after just one hell of a morning, one like we have not seen as we bring in Jeff Howe. And you are, Jeff, I was telling Stu as he came on here with Chaos Theory, it was a perfect day to have Stu on here with everything that happened here and Stu's background in covering these golf events about how hard it is to manipulate and get in and access and so forth. Mm-hmm. I'd love your thoughts. I mean, because you and by the way, that was great old man radio that you and I did yesterday. Had a lot of people reach out and said, "Man, that was amazing." Have you ever seen anything like what? Hell, it's still going on this morning.
No, I'm even trying to think. I mean, I've seen the tightest security events I've seen. Stu's been to Super Bowls. NCAA tournament can get that way, especially post COVID. Making sure you're where you're supposed to be and everything. College football playoff, Sugar Bowl was like that, but I've never seen this would be like, I'm not comparing them as athletes, but Scottie Scheffler is the reigning Masters champion. He's the number one golfer in the world. This would be like if Patrick Mahomes was detained and not allowed into the Super Bowl and you know, got read the riot act, like, you know, the problem I have, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of what I'm about to say can lead to. What really rubbed me the wrong way was, did you guys see the Jeff Darlington video that he shot with his phone?
Absolutely.
I didn't like it.
Kudos to him on the coverage, too.
Yeah. And to remain calm, because that's a situation where, you know, the adrenaline's pumping, your heartbeat's racing, and, I mean, you can, you know, the human body can do some interesting things when that fight or flight response kicks in. But the way when the cop told Jeff Darlington to get back, and he said, "Well, I'm with the media." And the guy's smiling at him, going, "Okay, like, yeah, that doesn't make an S to me. Like, it's stuff like that that just rubs me the wrong way. And it's not like a police officer media thing. It's almost like it's incidents like that that ruin it for the 95% of police officers in this country that do it the right way. Yeah, it's the 5% of the jokers and the jagoffs that abuse the shield and don't do things the right way and just act like just arrogant, pompous asses when they don't have to. And just that's just smart out. It looks like that rubbed me the wrong way. I know that might be me nitpicking, but that's when I was like, all right, things don't seem completely above board here.
Yeah, Jeff, and that's I agree. And that's what I was saying earlier. There is multiple faults to go around. You know, like I said, look, you know, we're all taught, if a police officer asks you, tells you to do something, you do it. So, you know, Scotty, yeah, that might be some fault, but I think there's some fault on that police officer. I think there's fault on the PGA. There's plenty of, you know, pointing the finger at several different entities.
It sounded, I mean, I've heard, you know, I've seen golf reporters and various people around Louisville talk about, hey, nothing this big, but this isn't the first time there's been incidents trying to get into Valhalla, and maybe they just don't host any more majors after this. I know that's small potatoes in the grand scheme of what we're talking about. I mean, we're still talking about a pedestrian fatality that was the root of all this that started it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and Rob brings up a good point. The best, honestly, the most impartial observer to all this, where you might find the closest thing to the truth, is if Jeff Darlington has to put his hand on a Bible and swear, you know, swear in front of a jury what he saw, that might be the closest thing we get to the truth as an impartial observer.
Yep, you're right. Exactly right. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's going to continue to evolve and see how this thing shakes out. But yeah, I think this is probably going to be that last major that you. And this is, I have done a little investigating. Crime rates are higher there, but I think where Scotty has handled this well. In his statement, number one, addresses the big thing here, that someone is deceased, and that's really the most important thing. And then he did mention as well that he misunderstood, and that's all you can ask for.
That's the key, Rodney. That's the key. I don't know why more athletes don't just say, this is why nobody remembers when people put baseball players in the PED conversation. There's a reason why Andy Pettit doesn't get mentioned in the same group with the other guys. You know why? Because Andy Pettit's one of the few guys that said, I did it. I effed up. I'm sorry. I can't believe this happened. I let a lot of people down. Please forgive me. If you just do that, then a lot of stuff gets forgiven. So, yeah.
Yep. It's the same thing we're taught as kids. Just own up. It's easier.
No, that's lame. You can't do that as a kid. The teacher's like, hey, if you fess up to this, you won't get in trouble. That's the biggest lie adults have ever told.
I wasn't an angel when I was growing up. Stu, you growing up around Gladewater, you know what life is like in a small town. Because sometimes the best thing to do on Saturday night may or may not be, I can't confirm or deny, maybe driving around smashing mailboxes. I don't know. But,
hey, Christmas decorations.
Cruise the Sonic.
Knock that shit down.
Hey, Stu, can I pick your brain real quick on something, Stu, before you go?
Yes, please.
This might actually interest BK, being the NBA fan that he is. I don't know if it's official yet, but it sounds like Turner, TNT, Warner Brothers Discovery is losing the NBA.
That's the picture right now.
I know AEW is part of that Warner Brothers Discovery family. Right. They've been looking for the big TV rights deal. You think this helps them or hurts them? Because I don't think this is necessarily a good thing for them.
That's a really good question. There's been a lot of talk because AEW is still in the negotiating window with Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah.
And look, I love Tony Khan to death. I've talked to him on many occasions. Of course, you know, he is a promoter and you can't get a straight answer out of him. There is no way.
Right.
If Turner loses the NBA, what does it do to AEW? There is some thought that they will probably invest more money in AEW. Look, AEW still gets some really good ratings, you know, and there's been a lot of talk about their ratings gone down, whatever. Look, Turner still likes the numbers AEW gets, whether it's on Dynamite or Rampage or Collision. I think if I were a betting man, I would say yes. I think AEW will see an increase in their rights fees. That also means Turner's going to be looking for other live sports. They still have the NHL. Somewhat.
They're getting NASCAR. They're getting five NASCAR races.
Right. They're getting NASCAR.
They still got some BK. They have the they do the ALs. Does Turner have the American League playoffs?
Yeah. They put the AL playoffs on TBS usually.
Yeah.
You're right. Still part.
Well, they have Charmed. All you need is Charmed in the morning. I mean, just watch that on repeat all the time. You know?
Still got March Madness. You know, so that's still there.
The Big Bang Theory reruns?
Yeah, exactly.
Big Bang Theory reruns. You know, of course, last night, the series finale for Young Sheldon.
I heard it ended the same way Breaking Bad ended, with Young Sheldon dead, bleeding out in a supermarket. Do I have that right?
Not quite, but, you know.
I think you might have misheard on that.
Did you hear them doing
a Jeff Darlington Twitter account? I guess that got me on that one.
Yeah.
Did y'all see they're doing a movie on Bryan Cranston is reprising his role, and it's a movie and it's called Heisenberg.
Whoa!
And apparently it the timeline it falls after the end of Breaking Bad.
Oh hell!
So apparently he didn't die.
It's like Two and a Half Men. They're going to reboot Two and a Half Men, and they want to bring Charlie Sheen back. I thought he died.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, do you?
That's why I watch sports. That's why I watch sports, guys.
Amen.
Stu, thank you as always, man, for jumping on here, man. It's just fun conversation each and every time, guys.
Anytime I can, I'm there for you.
So yeah, because you're talking golf, he was sand trap, Stu, today.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm gonna add that to the list now.
I'm always looking out for you, buddy.
There it is.
You can.
Jeff and BK, it's only 48 minutes. Y'all have at it.